It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
Oh, I am so here. I am at the jam-packed, perfect weather Minnesota State Fair. Ooh, I got a whole crowd. This is going to be a good show because we're talking about beer. It's kind of the undercard of the state fair now. Oh, there's like 50-odd beers here now that you can only get here. The whole industry happens now. People are very excited about it. All right, so here's the plan today. I got a jam-packed, very good show. Ryan Tingey from MN Beer, Minnesota Beer, MNBeer.com. He's going to be my sidekick through all of this because I can't do this alone. It's too difficult. It's too crazy. There's too much drinking to do alone. You need a friend. So Ryan is here with me.
Hello, everybody.
We've got so many beers. If you could see us right now, you would think that we had just... we're setting up for a frat party, but that is not what is happening. There are beers everywhere. So we've got some really great guests today. I've got Lauren Bennett McGinty, the executive director of Minnesota Craft Brewer Guild. I've got Kevin Smith. He's a PhD professor of agronomy, plant genetics, with a specialty in barley. You didn't know you could be a professor of beer. Well, guess what? You can if you study hard, kids. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about all of the beers here this year, and then we're going to learn a few things. All right, so Ryan, talk to me. This has been kind of a bonkers year, right? There's so many stunt beers. There's so many beers generally.
Yeah, this has been crazy. The first year was, the mini donut beer?
Yes.
And then we had, the s'mores beer at Campfire, and now it's just growing exponentially. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a solid 50 surprise beers, and if you were up at the Minnesota Brewers Guild, you could try so many more. All right, so let's talk about a couple of the trends. What do you think about the addition stunt beers? You're a beer critic. You've seen it all. What do you think about having a state fair with two, count them two, cotton candy beers?
Yeah, that was interesting to me this year. The cotton candy, I didn't know really where that came from, but I suppose it's the fair. And, it was always the funnel cake or the s'mores. But now you got the cotton candy. You got the shandies now.
All right, let's talk about the two ones. So we tried the Free House Blue Barn Indeed collaboration, which is meant to raise awareness of credit unions. So that's important to support our credit unions. But a lot going on in this beer before you put the cotton candy in. What did you think of the beer just by itself?
I thought it was really sweet, but it had that cotton candy finish. You didn't get a whole lot of the cotton candy. You got more of the strawberry. But you definitely, it's lip glossy. Kind of stuff.
That's what I said. That was my tasting note in the back. It was it reminds me of a Bonnie Bell lip gloss, a thing that I was very enthusiastic about in junior high. Have to be mean. Would you want a whole pint of it?
No. No, way too sweet.
Yeah, I had the other one, which is up at the Speakeasy in the Coliseum, the other cotton candy beer. And again, I just... feel like it's just too sweet to want a whole pint of it.
Is that the one with the rim on it, the cotton candy rim?
Or yeah, it has some floaty bits too.
Delicious.
So, are you know, obviously, you can't be a purist in this universe of ours anymore. But so I tried some of the wackier ones. I tried the Fair State Cocoa Wit, which is a wheat beer with lime and coconut. And again, I don't really want, it has that kind of suntan lotion taste to it.
Ooh, Banana Boat?
Yeah, Banana Boat. Yeah, one of those copper tone, for old school. Yeah. But it doesn't, it's not strong, but it's just enough of it that I don't like it.
Yeah, and I think if anywhere is a place for gimmicky beers, it's here. But at the same time, yeah, you don't want a full pint necessarily all the time. These little glasses would be nice for it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe we should do smaller ones. But what do you think about... So obviously this has energized the local brew scene, right? And it's got people doing experiments they wouldn't do otherwise. It's got people finding money they wouldn't find otherwise. So that's got its benefits.
Yeah, I think what I really like about it is that you've seen the collaboration efforts. Like you got Indeed and Freehouse. You've got Glenn Perkins did the beer with Surly up there, that fastball beer or whatever they've got. So you're starting to see like collaborations. I think that's really neat. I think that's always a good thing when you have brewers collaborating and doing things.
Why would that be a good thing?
I just think it's kind of fun. It kind of brings people together. You know, the scene's growing so much. It's getting really competitive. It's kind of nice to see them like get together and do things together.
Because is that like how we share knowledge and grow and people learn and expand their knowledge base, or do we just get a flattening that way?
No, I think they do. I think they bond over that sort of thing. And you know, these brewers, people are got to remember these guys are friends too. Like they might work for different breweries, and it's kind of fun for them to get together and work on a project together. You know, not always great. Doesn't always turn out great, but
it doesn't always turn out great. Is it wrong to say that? Is it unsupportive to say that?
No. I mean, like, you know, if it's not a good beer, it's not a good beer, I guess. But.
Okay, so we have one in front of us. It's the Lemon Drop Shandy from Tin Whiskers Brewing, which is up at Giggles Campfire. This might be my favorite of the stunt beers.
Yeah.
It's light. It doesn't have any kind of weird notes to it. It doesn't taste fake. I don't have any kind of lemon addition kind of feelings to it.
Yeah, it doesn't have that, like... that Lysol-y lemon kind of flavor to it. It tastes like it's, you know, real lemon.
And then that's a tradition. Shandy is an actual, has a heritage, there's a reason for it. It's something you drink in the hot weather.
Definitely, yeah. This and a lot of these beers are fitting, yeah, like this. The Shandy, Bauhaus has the Shandy with the mixed berry. That one's really good. The Short Pants with that's the beer, the Short Pants with the berry mixed in. It's really nice. Those are kind of state fair beers I want to drink. It's something refreshing.
All right, so I found the final tally. According to the state fair, there are 80 this time, only at the state fair beers. 80. Who can drink 80 beers in 12 days? I mean, you have to come every day, pay admission at the door. People in the audience are all shaking their heads. I think we've got to pull it back a bit. All right, another one that was brought for us to taste very generously from Mancini's, the Funnel Cloud Amber Ale from Bad Weather. And so this is one that has the full-on sugar rim, and this is kind of a thing that happens here now. People put things on the beers to make them more fair-ish. We no longer have like bacon resting across the rim of it. I think this is good.
I think it's a great beer. I think it's really, it's not overly sweet like you would expect with a funnel cake. I think it's more of that, like the dough, like the flavor of it, you know, like the malt for sure. It's not an overly hoppy beer at all. It's very low bitterness.
All right, and so then I'm going to give you another one. This is the Toasted Pumpkin Seed Ale, and this is another Giggles Campfire. So Giggles is a... We're going to have the owner of Giggles on next week just because this is a nice family story. I've been doing the Giggles Campfire area for years and years. And they kind of really expanded this beer section in the back. And I always go and look at the giant pumpkins. That's part of my state fair experience here. And so I think it's nice that they have a pumpkin something or other, toasted pumpkin seed. What do you think?
I think it's really nice. It's kind of almost got like a popcorn, but not in a bad way, like nose on it. It's interesting, but it's really nice and tame, not overly like hopped or anything like that.
All right, so from your perspective at MN Beer, Minnesota Beer, how do you feel like the State Fair itself has impacted Minnesota beer culture? Here's what I see. It's a big publicity opportunity.
Definitely. I think it's a really, you're starting to see a lot of these, and maybe it's just like this year's lineup with the fair, but those like milkshake beers, a lot of those are similar on like the, they got like the peach IPA here and like stuff like that. I think that it's making people try to do different things, like experiment with different flavors.
Oh, so you feel like it's pushing people out of their comfort zone?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I think that's probably true, and it gives you, I think a lot of people when they come here, they buy a pint and they share it between two or four people, so it gets us out of our comfort zone too.
Yeah, for sure.
So now I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay, so Fair State is always one of my absolute favorite brewers in the Twin Cities, and I hate this beer, this Coco Wit. I don't know if I hate it. I have to be extreme on the radio, but what? Try it. Tell me if you think that it's got the suntan lotion flavor. I think it's really hard to do something that's completely new and then have it also be good.
It does kind of have that, like, I wonder if it's the yeast they use or something. The wit beer is going to have like that Belgian kind of yeast to it. That might be what it is, actually.
All right. So
it does kind of have that, though.
All right. So we went through some of the big Craft Brew Imperiums. Mancini's has a bunch of them. Giggles has a bunch more. And so these are ways of getting people to try things, getting money into the craft beer community. And I'd say, I think we're hitting about 6 out of 10 at this point. Kind of.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the whole craft brew experience with the president of the guild, Lauren Bennett McGinty. And that's the plan, my friends. Stay tuned. We'll have more with Lauren McGinty in a minute here on WCCO. Dara here. All right, we're doing a special Minnesota State Fair beer show. On a beautiful, perfect day at the Minnesota State Fair. Bernie Sanders was here. There were a ton of people come to see him. Now people with Bernie Sanders signs are walking past the Minnesota GOP booth, and people are yelling at each other. It's a mix-up, I'll tell you what's going on here. People are getting to know each other through signs and yelling, but not here over at the beer area. We're getting to know each other through raising a pint. Hi there, there's just people coming up. Are those? No, those are. There's these. I don't have an ID, sir. I can't tell if you're the correct age. I can't do this when I'm on the air. All right, people are just coming up with their IDs. That seems plausible. I don't even know how to read these things. Sure, you can take one of those. I don't really like that one. That's mead. I never like mead. There's a thing that happens in the Twin Cities. All right, so here's who we have as a guest right now. Lauren Bennett McGinty, Executive Director of the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. A couple years ago, the Craft Brewers Guild set up in the Ag Hort building, and they're sampling 450 beers, and we've brought Lauren Bennett McGinty here to recite them all. But Lauren, no, welcome to the show. All right, what are you doing up there on the hill? What is the state of the Minnesota Craft Beer Guild?
Well, if you go up there, it's crazy. There are a lot of people running through there. You know, I think the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild is absolutely booming right now. We have at least 1 to 2 breweries joining every month. And just for context, back in 2011, before the Surly Bill passed, we had 20 breweries, and now we have 145. So
wow. And so that's every scale at this point, right?
Yeah. So we have breweries who are putting out maybe 200 to 500 barrels a year, but then you've got breweries like Surly, Summit, Shells, who are topping lists around the country of their production. So we've got it from all the smallest ones in the smallest cities up to the biggest ones in the biggest cities.
All right, and so one of the things you do up there is you sell these flights of beer, which are, I think the hardest thing must be to get all of the beers in and then sort them into their categories, because some of them are not quite one category or another. You get big size craft breweries and then the tiniest mom and pop places, and they're all kind of, everybody has to work in one of four categories, right?
Right. So I was only able to bring four categories, but we have six up there right now, which is awesome. So it kind of goes by the National Brewers Association standards of what they kind of call their they have five categories, and then we have a special Minnesota mixed category where we kind of mix in some four. They can be friends. They can hang out. And then, yeah, the breweries kind of pick their categories based on the style of beer.
Yeah.
So they have to fit themselves in, because otherwise I would be sorting through 450 beers trying to figure that out.
That explains
it. They do help out.
Sometimes I go up and I'm like, that one is not like the others.
Yeah.
But they don't know.
You know, that's a self. They can say, well, this one's a little crisp and clean. Maybe it's compared to their other portfolio of beers that they have. Maybe, you know, they think it is that way. But I think it kind of makes for kind of a fun, entertaining experience when you go up there, because you might not get every single thing. It might not be four pilsners, it'll be something else, so it's kind of exciting.
Okay, so obviously one of the cliches of American life these days is that every time there's an abandoned school or a factory or a library or a church, a brewery goes into it, right? Are we gonna ever hit saturation, or this is just the new way of life?
I get that question a lot. I think there's certainly going to be, you know, you'll probably see in the next few years more closings of breweries, just because they might not be able to keep up with production. But I think in small communities, we're seeing growth. So that really means outside of the metro area, you're seeing a lot more breweries pop up in small towns, because they need something on their main street to kind of help revitalize that town and keep young people there. And I think there are a lot of breweries and brewery owners who are coming back to their towns where they grew up, and they want to give back to their community, and they want to create a spot where everyone can come and join together. So I think we're going to see more of that for sure.
Are we seeing more one-person breweries? I feel like I'm seeing more like it's a mom and pop, and the pop has the brewery and the mom is a teacher. Like, I feel like that's a thing that I see a fair amount.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of small, especially those smaller ones out in greater Minnesota. It's, you know, a really hardworking team of two or three people, and it's kind of a family affair. You know, it might be a pair of people that I grew up together, or it could be a husband, wife, or, you know, what we see a lot of, you know, the pairing of the married couples working together to make it all run, and making sure that some of them still have full-time jobs, and keeping a brewery. Families help out a lot too, which is really exciting.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
So we have a couple of different categories. We've got dark and
roasty,
crisp and clean, fruity, spicy, tart, and funky, and just a generic Minnesota mix. What? Give me a place to start. Where would...
I would start with the crisp and clean. You probably typically would want to start light and then kind of move into the dark. I don't have the hoppy category up here, but that one, I think you could probably argue that dark and hoppy, it depends on how hoppy it is, which one you want to go last. But I would start with crisp and clean, and I have a cheat sheet. You're not totally putting me on the spot.
Oh, no. Okay, so this is what my question is, that we've been trying to have a Minnesota style for many years, right? People have been talking about this, and there was a lot of thought that it was a sort of surly style, like the IPA that's everything. It's super everything. It's super hoppy. It's super malty. It's super, it goes to 11 in every category. Is that what you're seeing now at the Guild? Like, is there starting to be a Minnesota style?
I don't know if I'm seeing that as much. I think a lot of breweries in Minnesota are starting to move towards a lot of pilsners and light lagers, and I think, you know, Ryan could probably speak to that too, because he writes about that kind of stuff all the time, but you're seeing so much more of that, and I think there are some breweries out there who wishes that the pilsner was the Minnesota style.
Yeah, and those are the harder beers to make too. Those are not easy beers to make. It's easy to cover up flaws with hops, with IPA, stuff like that. So a lot of people are trying to showcase what they can do with pilsners, kolsches. Those are very popular.
I think of Summit as having the regional pilsner to beat.
Yeah.
Is that still
yeah,
true?
Yeah, Keller Pils is one of my favorite beers made here.
So. Keller Pils. If you want one Minnesota beer to try and you're not at the State Fair, that's a great one.
It'll be at the State Fair at some point.
Well, I don't even know how you would pick one beer here at the State Fair, because there's so many things to choose from, and so many, I don't know, so many stunts. And I find the stunts really fun, but that's because I'm not... I don't have a lot of skin in the game. It's just fun. I just float around and like try all these things. I don't know what I would do if I was a brewer and I got a whole tank of something full of coconut to move along.
Yeah, it's funny that the trends that are going on these days, like with the milkshake IPAs, that's getting kind of tired, like the Northeast style IPA. But people love them. People drink them. That brings people to the tap rooms. So that's why you see people making those. For a while, it was like West Coast IPAs and sours.
And we had the year of the milkshake. Everything was a milkshake ale.
Yeah, it's getting kind of tired, but it's people are going there to buy that stuff. So it's like it's
so tired milkshake ales, wired pilsners. Is that what we're taking away here?
That's what I'm going with. I like that.
I think a lot of beer people too are super heavy into the pilsners. I'm like my fridge at home is mostly full of pilsners because it's just if you do it well, it tastes really really good, and it's just a wonderful beer to have any time of year.
That's what the brewers drink. I mean, that's what I drink a lot too. It's just like a clean pilsner. It's just. That's what you'll see them drinking, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, Germany and Czechoslovakia, can't be wrong. All right, Lauren, we're going to have to let you go in a minute here. Thank you for coming down from the Craft Brewer Guild Emporium up at the Ag Hort building, the most hopping part of the fair. If you want to send people away with one thing they should try this year, they're going to make a list, they're going to try a Minnesota beer, either a style or a... What should their takeaway be to support their Minnesota brewers? What should they look for?
Yeah, I mean, go to your local tap room, try the beer there, and when you go to a liquor store, just pick up something new, try something different. A lot of fall and winter beers are coming out right now. Everybody's got an Oktoberfest, so you pick one of those up in the next couple of weeks and visit the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild events. We've got one coming up on October 19th, Autumn Brew Review. We've got 100 breweries there. So that's kind of our thing. We'd love to promote all the breweries. So if you want to try more beer from more breweries, you can visit stuff like that and get a good smattering of everything.
Those are the better events, too. Like, if you're going to go to a beer event, go to a guild event. They're not...
Thanks,
it's
Ryan.
Not full of people. No, it's true. It's like, it's not full of people like drunk and falling over. It's like people that want to try beer.
And it's not a for-profit event.
No, so it's not. We are a nonprofit.
So that's very cool, too. All right. Good Minnesota tradition. Lauren, thank you so much for bringing down these things. And you have education stages all day. We're going to have Kevin Smith, a professor of barley, basically coming in to talk about barley in a minute here. But people want to learn more. They can hang out at the Ag Hort building at the Minnesota Guild Craft Brewers Guild exhibit and learn.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dara.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we are going to talk barley, all things barley. It's not just about making these awesome lemon drop shandies. It's more than that. When we come back, it's 75 degrees and 237 here at WCCO. We are live from the State Fair. We're having a good old beer show. I am Dara Moskowitz-Grumdahl. I write about all things for Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. I come on every weekend to talk about all things you can eat and drink. And today, we're at the beautiful Minnesota State Fair. We're talking about beer. I've got so many beers in front of me. It looks like a party gone crazy. But I bet this is just an everyday occurrence for Kevin Smith. This is what your office looks like, professor in the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics at the University of Minnesota. I snagged him from the Beer Guild. He's giving a presentation on barley. Is this what your office looks like, just full of beer?
Well, I wish it was what my office looked like, but not really, no.
All right, give us the lowdown. What is up in barley in the great state of Minnesota?
So, yeah, my lab works on the research of genetics of barley, and the applied outcome of that is new barley varieties. So what we're trying to do is develop varieties that can be grown by farmers in Minnesota and the surrounding area that are going to be useful to the malting and brewing industry, because they're the major users of barley in our state. And Minnesota's had a long history of barley production over the past 100 years or so.
But now I've heard through the barley vine or the grapevine that a lot of barley production has moved to the Dakotas. Is it going to come back?
Yeah, it has moved sort of steadily north and west over the last couple of decades. We had well over 1 million acres of barley 50 years ago. We're down to around 100,000 now.
Oh, so that's down a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. So it's mainly competition with other crops like corn and soybeans that are more profitable for farmers. But I think what's been really interesting is the rise of the craft brewing industry and what that's done to what people are thinking about in terms of agriculture and barley in the state. There's certainly a lot of interest from the craft brewers about sourcing their ingredients more locally, and so they would like to see more barley produced in the state that could be used in their industry. And so that's one of the things that we've done in our research program is start to direct more effort towards the kind of barley varieties that would be useful for craft brewers.
All right. So as a, you know, beer, food, wine person, I want barley to grow here because I want not there to be an epic sameness to all beer. I want beer to be a little different. But give a pitch, if you can, to a farmer. What's in it for them to grow barley?
Well, there are still farmers who really like to grow barley, and I think they want to grow other crops. So for one thing, it's really important in a farming operation to have rotation of different crops on your farm. So small grain crops like barley were always very important in that rotation, and there's a lot of interest for farmers to bring those back into the rotations now. What I think is really interesting is there's now this local demand for barley that could actually help to incentivize that. So a lot of times farmers make economic decisions about what they grow, and so that has to weigh into their decisions. But I think, you know, there are opportunities. I hear from a lot of the brewers that I visit with, they would love to see more barley grown. There's starting to become a small craft malting industry in the state.
Yeah, tell me about that. So up in the northwest chunk of the state, there's actually a small cooperative you were telling me about.
Yeah, so there's a farm family in Crookston, Minnesota. They've been growing barley for generations, several generations, and just within the past few years, they started a malting business. So they have a small malt operation, and they are malting the barley that they've grown on their farm, and then they're marketing that malt to brewers in the Duluth area in northern Minnesota, and they're going to be expanding that malt house now in the next year, so they may be able to take malt from other farmers and sort of build on that. So I think that's one of the things that will have to happen in the sort of supply chain is having that malting industry develop alongside of the growing brewing industry.
And malting, for people that don't know, it's a way of transferring just the raw barley grain into...
Yeah, so yeah, most people don't realize there's sort of two separate processes of malting and brewing. So you take barley and you convert it to malt essentially by putting it in water and letting it germinate. And that germination process, that seed germination process, does a lot of the sort of the magic to barley that makes it into malt. And then it's kilned and dried, and then that dried malt then goes to a brewer and they would use it as their one of their raw ingredients.
So then you're selling it as a value-added product. It's not just a pile of barley under a tarp at the side of the road. It's a thing you can just throw into your brewer's kettle.
Absolutely, and for farmers, they get paid a premium for malting barley. So barley that is a variety that's used by brewers and that it's grown so that it's acceptable for malting usually gets a fairly good premium price. So there is a price incentive for farmers to grow malting barley.
All right, so Ryan Tingey is here from Minnesota Beer, minnesotabeer.com. Ryan, what are you seeing? Are people excited about barley, or is this just nerdery that they're not there yet?
Yeah, I think people are excited about local ingredients in general. You have Mighty Ox Hops. And you also have barley, and the U of M is doing a great job with that, trying to bring barley back. You see Mark at Summit is doing, his brother has a barley farm out in North Dakota. That Dakota Soul beer is made specifically with that ingredient. So I think local ingredients are trending for sure, and I think it's going to be big in the future.
All right, I hope it keeps up. All right, so Kevin Smith, thank you so much for coming down to talk to us. So let's leave us with a final word about barley. Can people taste it? Can you taste barley at the Minnesota State Fair? Like in a beer, is there a particular beer style or beer that you drive people towards to say like, oh, this is what I do with my life, barley?
There are, I mean, the maltier flavored beers are really featuring the barley in the beer. And there are some studies now that are looking at actually the contribution of different barley varieties to flavor. So just like you have wine, grape vines or grapes that have certain flavor characteristics, they're starting to see that there are certain varieties that have that too, but that's a very early stage.
I have never in all my years of reading beer notes seen a barley varietal called out.
I've seen a few labels now where they'll list the variety on there.
Really?
So Golden Promise is a variety. It's an older variety from Scotland that's been used.
And Golden Promise?
Yes.
That's so nice sounding.
Maris Otter, that's another one that's a very popular.
Maris Otter? Yeah. Oh, I got to learn some barley names.
Those are UK varieties, right?
That's correct, yeah. I mean, that's one thing that's interesting about barley is that the identity of the barley, the varietal identity is preserved all the way through the supply chain, unlike sort of corn and soybeans where it's just corn or it's just soybeans.
Well, that's an incentive. What do I got to do around this town to get a barley named after me?
Well, you can sample more beer and tell us what works for you.
All right, I'm in. I'm on a campaign. Kevin Smith, professor of the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics at the University of Minnesota. Thank you for coming down. Kevin is going to be presenting up at the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild. No barley, no beer. I like that, but it's not N-O, it's like K-N-O-W. But I guess it works the other way, no barley, no beer. We wouldn't be doing any of this without some barley. All right, so thank you for creating beer for all of us through barley genetics, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a little break here. We're going to come back with some of the hard stuff, and I still have Ryan Tingey here to talk about beer at the Minnesota State Fair, where everybody is getting at the great get-together, getting together, and lifting a pint. Dara here at the Great Minnesota Get-Together, the Minnesota State Fair. It is a perfect day. It is not too hot. It is just cloudy. It's kind of perfect. We're wrapping up the beer show. We're doing Beer to Chaser. Mark Schiller dropped by. He's the president of Loon Liquors down in Northfield. All right, Mr. Mark Schiller, tell us, what are you doing here? Because you can't pour booze at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. That's not happening.
This is true. Yeah, there are no spirits allowed legally at the fair here. So I'm the president of the Minnesota Distillers Guild, and this is our first year that the Minnesota Distillers have a presence at the state fair. So we're showing off Minnesota agricultural usage in the new up-and-coming distilled spirits world in Minnesota. So we're showing off here wheat, rye, barley, corn, sorghum molasses, honey, blueberries, all these different things that Minnesota distilleries are using, and we're showing off. We're also offering $5 micro distillery passports. So you get a buy one, get one free drink, or other $5 off, or other deals at 17 different distilleries across Minnesota.
All right, so what is the big news in Minnesota distilling? I know what I think it is. I think it's been this explosion of the finer spirits. What does it look like to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the explosion is coming in all forms. So there are people coming out with rums. You're starting to see rums starting to come out. You're starting to see single malts. You're starting to see different styles of bourbon, different styles of gin, different styles of aquavit, different styles of vodka. I mean, it really runs the gamut. So it's so new in the distilling world that when you looked at when beer introduced, there was an explosion of people trying different things in different ways. And I guess the better question is, what's not new, you know, within the distilled spirits world?
Well, all right, so you're selling this passport. So for $5, you're up in the new, I think of it as the north loop of the state fair. It's this little area that's over in the northernmost section, and it's got bespoke bicycles and, gluten-free sandwiches. And also, you're up there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're so proud and excited to be up at the new end of the fair. It's kind of fitting that we're in the new portion of the state fair right next to Angry Birds, and actually it's really close to the Hangar Bar, so it's the northwest corner of the Hangar Bar. Then we got a tent out there, and we've got the still, we got that out there, we've got a bunch of different volunteers from all the different distilleries across the state, and we're showing up in force. Our passports are selling like hotcakes. You know, passports typically go for like $20 or $30, but it's our first year, and we're just like, let's just do it at $5. Let's make a lot of noise.
So the point of getting the passport is it has, you know, you can go to Far North Spirits and get a one drink, get one free, and some of them have a 20% off any purchase, so a bunch of discounts. But 17 distillers, you got a guild. Yeah. Your guild can still fit in a conference room.
Yeah, we certainly can. but what's really great, though, is we just have some new up-and-coming distilleries saw our booth at the fair, and they're starting to join. So actually, we've had 3 or 4 distilleries join the guild just in the last week. So we've jumped up effectively 20%. Our guild's grown 20% in the last week here. So it's going bananas. Yeah,
and
there's
an efficient
a lot of
use
them.
Of your time.
I like to think so. You know, I mean, we're touching a lot of folks out here. It's been fantastic. Yeah, we've getting overwhelming response, and yeah, a lot of folks asking great questions.
All right, so in your little passport, that's an astonishing quantity of grain y'all are using now.
Yes.
In 2018, 2.3 million pounds of Minnesota grain. If we can't send it to China, we're just going to drink it. I think that's a plan. We could do, that's what we're going to do with these trade wars. We'll just keep it, drink it.
Totally, totally. And what's really great about it is that when the distillers are sourcing directly from the farmer, on average, they're paying about 20% or 50% up towards more of a premium for their grain than the farmer would be getting it just selling it off to a cooperative. So since they're using it, these real high quality grains, they're able to source directly with the farmer, and it's really cool to see all the different partnerships, and that's what we're highlighting out at our booth this year.
All right, Mark Schiller from Loon Liquors, thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right, Ryan Tingey, I'm going to wrap it up with you. We just got a couple minutes here. So you've gotten to try a whole bunch of the Minnesota Great Get-Together, the new beers. We had some stunt beers. Do you have, you got a favorite?
I really like this funnel cake one from Badweather. I think that's really nice.
All right. So that is the funnel cake from Badweather, and that is at Mancini's right across the way there. So right here at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. And if people are kind of intimidated by the 80-odd beers, where do you think, give them some advice. I'll tell you where I would start. I'll let you go first, and then I'll...
I would start at the Guild booth up there, and they have a bunch of different beers that are brewed locally, but that are not, like, the gimmicky beers. I would start there, or else I would go to the Ballpark Cafe.
The Ballpark Cafe has a bunch of them. They are... it's hard to... A thing I like about the Guild is that you're not in the hole for a whole pint if you end up with something you don't like.
Exactly. I really like that. The flight option is really nice. It's nice to have, you know, little samples. Mm-hmm. You can try them. You can just get out of there.
All right. People are inspired and they want to try the beers. You do that. You get out there and experience this. All right. So this has been me, Dara Moskowitz-Grumdahl. I write at Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. I'm going to come up with my top five beers somehow this week and get them up at mspmag.com. So far, I've got my top foods up there. It was the waffle from the Hamlin Dining Hall. That thing is amazing with the cream cheese ice cream. I never knew a thing about cream cheese icing till this week. Now I'm super into it. It's amazing. All right, so what's going to happen next week on Off the Menu? Well, I will tell you what's going to happen. We're going to get some wisdom up in here. Giggles Weiss of Giggles Campfire Grill and Pat Mancini of Mancini's, they're going to come on to talk about how to keep your family in business together and do the fair. I think this is astonishing. I don't think a lot of families would have the emotional sophistication to manage to do this, because it is a scrum. You are together for 18 hours a day in a high-stress environment. So I get some wisdom from these people. What have they learned persisting year after year and then keeping your whole family together and prospering? I just need this wisdom from them, and I'm hoping they're going to pile a big old State Fair basket high of some wisdom for me. Until then, may your shoes be comfortable and your conversations brave. And I will meet you here next week on Off the Menu.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.